parents, can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, inviting you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to June 19th, 1976, a Saturday night at the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 3, Show Number 5, a meditation on the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey, Saturday, June 19th, 1976. Grateful Hits.
If you're allowed in here, give us a minute so we can tune our instruments. We don't do it by machines. So we have to do it right here in front of you. So
here we are. The fifth of five shows for us, a radio simulcast. Will the Grateful Dead be able to handle the pressure and deliver? They sure delivered last night to kick off the weekend in style. But tonight is a different beast. It's Saturday night. The radio feed is ready, the crowd is ready, and sweaty. The June 1976 tour ends right here for us, and we want, or shall we say need, a memorable one to send us on our way. Anyway, the band opens up with a Help on the Way. To the tour book we go for a deep dive, Help Slip Franklin's. Grateful Shows Tour Book Number 3, Show Number 5, Help on the Way. This is the fifth show of five, the big one. The last battle of the great border war that never was. Factions from both sides migrate between territories hassle-free. All orange license plates are welcome. We stand together and humbly dedicate ourselves to the music. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. It's a Saturday night show with a simulcast on New York rock station WNEW-FM. Legions of ticketless fans will gather at friends' houses or huddle in rooms, doors stuffed with towels, creating a hermetically sealed environment, fingers hovering over the play button in order to receive some live dead. Soon, the tri-state area will finally have access to what a select few thousand have already been privy to this month. Summer's here, and the time could not be any more right than right now. However, when expectations are high, the dead have been known to deliver lukewarm performances. It's okay. We have plenty of blank tapes. Give it your best shot. What fate awaits those peeking and freaking in front of bedroom stereos? The unmistakable bass notes of Help on the Way hit hard, and we have liftoff. Jerry, in a sweet voice, nails the mission's first stage. Fans are freaking out from Freehold to Farmingdale at the chance to finally hear their heroes in a live setting. The long, painful hiatus is finally over. Tonight is our final show of the tour. And although we understand this particular leg of our lives is nearing its end, we are grateful to have had the chance to ride the wave. The Help on the Way opener is a bold choice. It takes precision, timing, and a whole lot of camaraderie, elements that the band has shown in spades during this run. It is serene, measured, and calm. It arrives with splendor, a lush jungle to explore. The greens and blues interwoven into a tapestry of sound, smell, and discovery. Donna attempts to lure us out with hushed tones, the language of a temptress. We are tempted, but Phil has hypnotized us, like a snake staring down a mouse before it strikes. There is no need to fear or question your purpose for being. You exist to feed those who go on to do greater things. Your life as a minion serves a purpose. Take it in, listen to the band, and enjoy yourself, but remember to explore every spiritual avenue spread before you. Help on the Way delivers. It is tricky. It is the crest of a perfectly formed wave, ready to carry those willing to ride it to the shore. But before that happens, the slipknot silently diffuses any liquid energy threatening to overwhelm us. The sea has gone flat. Slipknot. A few drops of slipknot extracted from the Beacon Theater are dripped onto the Capitol stage. As soon as they hit the stage, they begin to foam, then turn into gray smoke. The stage is obscured by this haze. The band collectively inhales, and the view is once again clear. The performance continues. Jerry hits some snake-like licks. When the band is in concentration mode, you'd better listen. This is serious business. Do not get involved unless you, too, are willing to sacrifice a piece of yourself for the benefit of the whole. Add your flavor, like a potluck dinner. But what can you possibly bring to the table that transcends the musical exposition unfolding before your eyes? Just sit there in awe. That's good enough for now. Slipknot is a musical exposition, a statement, shaped by jazz masters and past expressionists. It, too, has ignited, ready to shed its booster and truly launch this show into the farthest galaxies. Just flip the switch and hit the transition. So far, so good. This is what we mean when we say this band is incomparable. Intricate patterns woven through our brains leave us speechless, but we have come prepared, with passports ready and suitcases already packed for the inevitability of a Franklin's Tower. Franklin's Tower. Nailed it. Enough said. Now, use it to glide smoothly down a mountain blanketed in fresh, powdery snow set to music. It offers the perfect amount of resistance while creating the illusion of floating in space. What a moment. And we are only a dozen minutes into the show. Oh, the band has come to play this evening. Repeats be damned. Everything was a dress rehearsal. Tonight is the coronation, a celebration of a nation ready to mark its 200th birthday, and of those gathered here to congratulate the band on more than a decade of existence. Think of the sacrifices made and of all those we have lost. This moment is for them. And just think, the Grateful Dead are just getting started, depending on whose opinion you value. The never-ending quest for peace and joy is temporarily found inside this ratty old New Jersey theater, a California band plastering over New York grit with homegrown paradise. The drummers are working it, demanding that we shake it and even bake it. So clap along with it, sing along with it, give them hell about it. There are plenty of ways to show your fidelity. Roll away the dew. That's what they're talking about. They want us to roll away the dew, but what is the actual meaning behind the message? If it means peeling away the veneer of self-importance and righteousness, it is easy to do. That attitude has no place in this environment, right here, right now. It's high time to dial it back and join others on their paths of discovery. We thought we found what we were looking for in the previous four shows, but true students of the game realize that the deeper one's understanding grows, the more there is to discover. Each door that opens leads to another, creating a space larger than before, begging to be filled. And the music just keeps on going after that. A segue into A Music Never Stopped. So much music right away proves that the Dead are definitely up to the task tonight. Things cool off a bit with two tour staples, Brown Eyed Women and Cassidy, before they go into They Love Each Other. We think this merits more insight. So let's go to the tour book once again for They Love Each Other. Who knows? If things go right, you may even find a partner. Even if you don't, listen to this song while imagining spending your days together, nestled in blissful harmony. The outside world is meaningless. They have built their own world. Together, they learn to shut out danger, repel desire, despair, and the prying eyes eager to judge them. Together, they built a safe house within a lover's protective arms. So much so that even when the winds of change begin to blow the two of you toward the rocks of uncertainty, you hold fast to the memories of those early days of happiness, desperate to preserve relationship equilibrium. In the meantime, the Grateful Dead have arrived on their own diesel train. Boarding the train without hesitation, you watch the tracks grow smaller outside the back window. You are lost, and she is gone. Music takes her place. You let Keith massage your tired muscles. You let Bob do what Bob does, and you let the rest of the band play a version that sounds so perfect to your ears that you can face the world again. Jerry narrates your story, the story of the two of you. He has gathered enough information from you. They loved each other. The memory of her may return. First, as a walk in the park along a pond where insects skit across the water surface, leaving the tiniest wake. Beneath the surface, dead leaves form a mottled nest of colors, waiting to be discovered by an artist greater than you. The leaves do not flinch or turn their noses up at you. They invite you to examine them as one with a trained eye might. She is with you once more. As you hold hands, your lover lingers by the side of the pond. You watch her pupils expand and contract, as if the light from the water's depth were physically affecting her. And then, your hand grows cold. She is long gone. Alone again, you stare at your reflection as it peers into a body of water blackened by the encroaching darkness. Clouds gather within you, and you do your best to keep them from escaping into the night. While that song ends on a rather dour note, the theme of love is not yet finished. Bob and Donna break out Looks Like Rain. More heartbreak for all you hopeless romantics out there. Then, it's time for everyone's fun song, Tennessee Jed. We became Jedheads last night, remember? No need to press the issue any further. Why? Because following the Jed comes another extended version of Playing in the Band. Hints of those heady 72 to 74 versions still linger in these 1976 play-ins. And of course, this can lead to out-of-body experiences. Let's see how we got along as we finish off the set with a nearly 20-minute version of Playing in the Band. Hold on to your hats, everyone. This is a deep one. A reading from the tour book, Playing in the Band. And now for something different. Playing in the Band brings together the previous characters, emotions, and songs into a cohesive volume. Good luck with that. We need an entire card catalog of cards to index all the thoughts that have materialized in our minds so far. Call this show the big time. As we said at the outset, this is a big moment, one that the Grateful Dead have been known to miss more than to hit. Not tonight. They are playing up to the moment for a change, carefully plucking only the most perfectly shaped and succulent fruit from the tree for us to sample. The Grateful Dead are nailing it, but Phil doubles down. He knows there are some holes that need patching. Jerry is too busy with his own project. Bob is the glue, trying to hold everything together. The drummers hurry between the job site and the shop, transporting materials and leaving them beside the site so they can be easily integrated into the project. Playing is being built right before our eyes, at least for those who care to watch. The construction of a masterpiece isn't always the most exciting part, but if you have enough knowledge, you understand the difficulty of the process. This musical construction is an artistry and mastery of form and function. The song forms within us and serves as a conduit to the band. Now that it is set up, they can receive our electric pulses directly, losing little in the process. Previously, there was too much waste. They are committed to extracting every last drop of our energy to produce a second set capable of powering New York City in the event of a blackout. See you next summer. We consider this Playing in the Band a masterpiece, even though it is barely halfway finished. How can you possibly identify a masterpiece when it is only partially done? This isn't the Sagrada Familia. Actually, we hope to score some bonus points with the band so we are not visited by the dreaded bummer. Nothing spoils a good time like those guys. They show up at your door, flash a vague ID, and let themselves in. You feel no obligation to offer any sweets or a cup of tea to these uninvited guests. They are brusque and rude. They rifle through your belongings and upset your mental state in the process. They pull paranoid thoughts out of their pocket and stuff you with them. Your aura dims. It turns a nasty scarlet, with no affiliation to the song. Trust no one. Why did you open up? Nothing good comes from babbling the truth to absolute strangers. This information will be used against you. Someone will spill the beans on your secret money-making tricks. They know about your amorous liaison with your cousin when you were both 9 years old. They have buckets of the dirtiest dirt they can find, and they enjoy flinging it about. The people around you look strange. They're melting. Their once friendly personas replaced by expressions of indifference and, in extreme cases, hostility. They laugh at you, mocking your very existence. Name one good reason you should be here. And we don't mean here at the show. We mean alive at all. Think about it. You're trash, an ugly hanger-on, offering nothing in return. You take and take, greedy scum that you are. The dead give away all this music, yet you can't think of a single productive way to distill the experience. What will the deadheads of the future think of you? They taunt. The jam speaks. It urges us to stand our ground. We are so deep inside it that we have no choice but to believe it is speaking exclusively to us. Tell them your will comes from a place deep within yourself, a place none of them shall ever reach. Yes, there is a belief system. We believe we exist because our true calling is not yet defined. Hence, we take particular interest in the structure these musicians are creating. And because we can see the masterpiece before it is finished, it must mean that right there is our purpose for existing. We are visionaries who gladly support other visionaries. We freely indulge in the world of imperfection and half-finished ideas. We share those imperfections. We are here to pile them together and burn them so that we may emerge as better people. And one day, we'll experience the unseen support from those we have helped. Thank you for understanding. Dawn is ready to break. We have vision. We have clarity. The upcoming daybreak on the land shall mold us into a better version of ourselves, and that is enough. After this interminable section of music, the light finally comes into view. The announcement is sung by a triumphant chorus of angels disguised as sound and by the siren's guttural scream. Again, we have defeated the enemy. But in reality, our only true adversary throughout this entire time has been ourselves.
We're going to take a break, and you can do the same.
So that does it for the first set. Nothing to see here. Let's move along to the second set, the final chapter in our long saga. Set break. Okay, so here we are at set two at the Capitol Theater. A Saturday night in New Jersey, June 19th, 1976. The set opens with Might As Well. Then, Samson and Delilah, who proudly display their perfect attendance award to all who wish to see it. It is a small number indeed. But, this is but a warm-up. Let bygones be bygones, because the Grateful Dead is about to serve up a sweet, sweet version of High Time. To the tour book we go for an elegant High Time. High Time. All passengers are present and accounted for, refilled and refreshed. It is the perfect time to move on. The flow of love is strong with this one. A welcome High Time strips away any remaining varnish, constricting total freedom. Here, everyone, please take a final sip of the nectar that holds the perfect tempo and vocal range for a perfect song. Jerry is in gilded form. His voice rises above all. Donna riding the slipstream, elegantly coloring the sky with her subdued hues. Complimentary and ethereal, they coax out any hidden emotion you were too embarrassed to show. If we could leave one song under the Christmas tree for a future deadhead to unwrap, we would choose High Time from 1976. However, he is not a child bursting into the living room, eyes wide with excitement as piles of presents greet him. He is too old to believe in miracles. The spirit of giving has become a chore. The idea of family is a burden. He just wants to go somewhere else. A present doesn't do much anymore. He asks for it and gets it. What's the surprise in that? High Time calls to him. It is wrapped in plain paper. The to and from lines are blank, but he knows it is for him. He takes the song to his room and unwraps it carefully. Of course, there is no physical object for him to evaluate. He is immediately swallowed up by a past he has never experienced. We are there to take his hand and lead him to an empty seat nearby. Wordlessly, he sits and stares ahead, transfixed by what he witnesses. He is motionless, as if any movement were enough to break the fragile state seemingly designed with him in mind. Of course, this is a moment to be shared. Together, we forge an unshakable bond. And the angels themselves couldn't have designed a better tune, sung on high to alert the flock that, yes, he is among us. Through a cautionary message, Love and consideration flow like a golden river of light, illuminating the potential each of us holds. We are here. We are seen. We are a light with knowledge and the elixir of life. We wish the very best to all who have chosen to walk beside us on this narrow path of light. Come in when it's raining. Go on out when it's gone. Jerry's guitar trills send shivers through the crowd, sparking synapses. It's okay not to be okay, and that's okay. Relief flashes across his face. The facade, vulnerability disguises toughness. He has chosen to wield as a weapon, even against his family. The very people who love him and care for his well-being most dissolves with the music. His poor mother. She isn't a bitch or a cunt or an obstacle to his wishes. Her guidance has led him to this point. A point where, if he just woke up, he would realize he has everything he needs and everything he wants. Not in a material sense, but emotionally. He is wasting his time. He has only another year or two with his family, and then he will be on his own. Infinite sadness racks his body as he shakes with uncontrollable sobbing. We come to the end of the song, and the path widens, spilling into a vast flowery field that meets the sea. He is instructed to walk to the water's edge, where his destiny will be revealed. Of course, he will never make it. Like baby sea turtles attempting to navigate the dangerous sand between the nest they are leaving and the safety of the ocean, he, too, is snatched up by the jaws of a giant creature he never knew existed. Christmas lights flickering outside the icy window greet him as he awakens. He ruffles through the wrapping paper, but the present is gone, save for a note he must have originally missed. If these words touch your heart, resonate with you, or evoke any emotion, please share that feeling in whatever way that feels meaningful to you. Thank you in advance, your friends and kindred spirits of the past. He rereads these words, tears blurring most of the text. He leaves his room and, unannounced, gives his mother a heartfelt hug. As the embrace finishes, she playfully slaps him on the shoulder and smiles. What did you do that for? But she knows. Parents always do. Post-high time, we get a monster segment of Let It Grow, Dancing in the Streets, Cosmic Charlie. So we're going to pick it up at the Cosmic Charlie after a family-themed interlude during the first two songs of this trifecta. With only three more versions ever played after this one, the chances of getting another are slim. So, to the tour book we go to spend some extended time with Cosmic Charlie. Cosmic Charlie. Up ahead lies a monster tune to chill us out. The song begins, time stops, and we snap into the present. It is our second Cosmic Charlie, yet only three more to come. If you happen to be in Philadelphia next week, San Francisco next month, or in Landover, Maryland of all places, it's best to appreciate life as it happens. You never know how good you've got it until it's gone forever. The music projects a prism across the theater walls. The beauty of the scene makes us want to give up all artistic endeavors. But it's hard to give up something you never began. If we had pursued a career as artists, this Cosmic Charlie would have ended it. Why even try when you'll never reach the depth of understanding needed to craft such a wonderful song? Garcia's notes subtly shift the colors, giving them a lifelike vibrancy that lingers even after the projector is shut off. The luminous amoebas regroup and split apart, dividing and reuniting in the most fantastical forms impossible for humans to replicate. A crew of aliens may control the visible spectrum, but there is no way they would want to disturb their own. Nothing to say, just listen, feel, and soak in the moment of Jerry, Bob, Phil, Billy, Mickey, Keith, and Donna effortlessly interacting with each other to present this song for us. It is an incredible musical session. Let It Grow, Dancing in the Streets, Cosmic Charlie. Three songs that lived a lifetime inside of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Cosmic Charlie has done its job of cleansing our souls and has injected one last burst of life into what is no doubt the show's final turn into the home stretch. The band takes an extended break to regroup and push us all into this final frame of music. There are some disturbing sounds of encouragement that resemble duck calls. Time to consult the local ornithologist, conveniently located near the far bathroom in the concourse. A quick check of his notes leads him to excitingly conclude that it is a rare species not normally found in this area. Perhaps they are making a comeback. He is even more thrilled to report that the original mating call was answered. A revival may be imminent. We don't have the heart to tell him. But we will accept the long onstage meeting and tuning as a part of the experience and wait patiently. As long as the next tune isn't Around and Around, we'll be happy. The countdown to a song's extinction begins in earnest. Three up, three down before Cosmic Charlie is wiped clean from this mortal plane. Kind of sad, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what's sad is following that epic segment of music with Around and Around, which I can begrudgingly say was way more fun than it deserved to be. So what the hell do I know? The Grateful Dead then follow Around and Around up with the first Going Down the Road Feeling Bad since Lindley Meadows in San Francisco in September of 1975. As expected, it completely reduces the theater to ash, but the Dead are not done with the fireworks or the loud tandem screaming. It's time for the set closer, the obvious choice. One More Saturday Night. One more look at One More Saturday Night from our tour book to your ears. A deep dive from the tour book. One More Saturday Night. As expected, as if expectations were a bad thing, it is a curtain call. Calling all freaks to let it rip one more time. Please do your best to spend any leftover energy right here at the show, as you are currently unable to take it with you. The energy level must have overloaded the circuit board as the song momentarily runs off the rails. Power and glory in the name of Old Glory, it must be done. It is imperative to show those out there in radio land what we've got. Our job is to create such a force that it comes through the radio in a concrete way. There are thousands of people out there listening at home parties, through headphones, on transistors, in the woods, at the base of an abandoned railroad trestle, while sitting on cases of beer, in a field where a group of cars is arranged in a circle, doors and windows open, tuned to the only game in town. We must let them know that they are as much a part of us as we are of them. That's right, it's Saturday night. Hey, another Saturday night. The best party in town. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Howl at the moon. Bark at your neighbor's dog. Shout it out to the empty sky. It's Saturday night. The Saturday night of our lives, where we remain forever embalmed in our prime, invincible. And now it's encore time. It's either Johnny B. Goode or another U.S. Blues. Given the bicentennial mood, I wouldn't count it out. But, to everyone's surprise, the band busts out and not fade away. Now, this deserves a deep dive, not just because of the song, but also because it is the final song in a marathon of music we have just experienced. The last deep dive of the tour for us. Here we go into a tour book edition of Not Fade Away. Amazingly, we heard some guys call for this earlier. It took every bit of decorum not to give them a helping of good old New Jersey sarcasm. Glad we didn't. Because once again, the Grateful Dead have proved us wrong. Whenever you least expect it, they do the unexpected. The surprise, a standalone Not Fade Away. Whether it works in this particular position is up to the band. Anything we get is gravy at this point. Nothing left to do but dance in our seats, clap like hell, and jam it out. A very achievable mission. Speaking of missions, for the adventurous, the next set of shows is in Philly, then it's on to Chicago. And as much as we'd like to keep this up, we must call it quits in the friendly confines of the Garden State. Somehow, this Not Fade Away has us wishing for a double encore. It would be poetic justice for the absence of one on Thursday. Don't think we didn't forget about it either. Jersey grudges run deep. It is worth noting that the band may still be on the fence about whether the Thursday audience was encore worthy, so they offer us this Not Fade Away as a truce. Accepting this offering, we take a long drag on the peace pipe and exhale forgiveness, as if we are ever in any position to hold leverage over these guys. That's part of the magic, the ability to feel like you're a part of the festivities, even when you're merely a spectator. A special feeling the band has cultivated over years of hard work. And this is precisely why you find yourself singing, "Love is love, not fade away, not fade away, over and over. Now scream it into the night, not fade away. The more we sing it, the more we believe it. Keep believing until the last note is finished. Never give up. It has been an astounding time on the axis of time. And to all of you, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing to experience the magic of June 1976 with us. And happy birthday to you, young America. Here's to another 200 years. And that does it for the five-night extravaganza in June 1976 at the hallowed Beacon and Capitol Theaters. It was at times exhausting, but extremely heady. Be on the lookout for a recap next week. Hope you had a good one. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us a line anytime. See you next time for the tour wrap-up on Grateful Shows. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.